again, and happy Thanksgiving. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 229 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as that used with the great Frank Fitzsimmons, so we call it merely Where Fitz Left Off. Today we feast on turkey, the largest of the game birds, and in 1939, merchants found in Hendersonville that turkeys can't fly. One of the most popular episodes in the TV sitcom series WKRP involved a promotion dreamed up by that station's sales manager, Herb Turlock, which called for the dropping of turkeys over Cincinnati from an aircraft. If you remember the episode, the news director, Les Nessman, was on the ground to describe the tremendous excitement when the turkeys were dropped from the plane. It was hilarious, and it was an unforgettable episode in the WKRP series. Perhaps the writers of that chapter were around Hendersonville in 1939, or maybe knew somebody who was, because the Merchants Association ran that same promotion here. It was announced in mid-November, throughout the holiday season, turkeys would be released from the top of a business building to become the property of the successful captor. The first of the turkeys was released November 25, 1939. And it was said the turkey floated calmly down, not flying, floated, and made a perfect landing and was captured by Grady Maxwell of Brightwater Farms without damage to the turkey or Mr. Maxwell. The release had been widely publicized in the Times News and explained that periodically a live turkey gobbler would be released from the top of a downtown building, and the slogan was adopted, "To the captor belongs the gobbler." Wiseacres in the community were quick to point out that turkeys can't fly. The best they can do is simply spread their wings, which does slow their descent. One turkey raiser called in to offer turkeys to the merchants at half price. He said he had bred his turkeys with homing pigeons, and when you turn them loose, they just fly back out here. It was said that old-time turkey hunters were doing a brisk business selling homemade turkey collars. One person purchased a sack of corn and built a trail of kernels from Main Street to the parking lot behind the Skyland Hotel, where it ended in a large pile of corn on top of a chopping block beside which a new axe had been placed. In a 1939 show of women's liberation, the ladies demanded that a ladies' day be observed. One lady complained that releasing the turkeys from the top of a building automatically gives all the tall men a break. So the merchants agreed a ladies-only turkey release would be held Saturday, December 2, 1939, and only women would be allowed to participate. While in the early days of the promotion, turkeys had only been released one day a week starting Saturday, December 9th, and supposedly until Christmas, the release of a turkey would be held every day, except Sunday. The blue laws were still in effect in 39. As the flying turkey event continued on toward Christmas, it continued to gain in popularity. It was the talk of the town. A rumor was circulated that Life magazine would send a crew here to film the turkey fly, and arrangements were quickly made that if a major news magazine did decide to come to Hendersonville, instead of just releasing a single turkey, they'd turn loose 25 turkeys. And chamber officials now estimated that 3,000 people had turned out for the flying turkey events. Other gimmicks were added. Certain turkeys would have a dollar bill wrapped around each leg. And Saturday, December 11th, was to be known as Wings Against the Sky, which would demonstrate the fortunate differences in living in America in 1939 rather than in Europe, where pursuit planes and bombers were flying instead of turkeys. One person even quipped, "We ought to turn loose a few guineas. They could play the part of the pursuit planes, and the lumbering turkeys would be the heavy bombers." The final day of the flying turkeys was Saturday, December 23rd. And Main Street was jam-packed for the occasion. Fortunately, the only casualties in the entire promotion were the birds. Another memory of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, with a job he's loved all his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.